live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know we do a lot of different kinds of interviews. This one, though, I think may be one of the more unique ones. One of America's icons to be on the air with us this afternoon. And comedian Jay Leno. Jay, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, you are appearing at Seven Feathers Casino Resort on Saturday night, and that's kind of how that all got put together. I'm curious, at the front end, when did you know that you wanted to be a comedian?
Well, you know, I was a class clown, and when you grow up in a little town in New England, and where I grew up is like the flip side of Oregon. The weather is almost the same. It's a little bit colder. But, you know, rain and, you know, kind of rural, especially when I was a kid, a lot of farms and stuff like that. So getting into show business didn't really seem like a viable thing, you know. When I was in college, you know, you do talent shows and, you know, put on skits in college. So you think, well, I'll do this until I have to get a real job. I was just lucky I never had to get a real job, you know.
So, why be a comedian? What was it that interested you about that area?
Well, I mean, why be a comedian? Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things you just sort of, it's a fun thing to do. I mean, what's more fun, really, than just telling jokes, you know? I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, it's the same thing. You get paid for doing the same thing you'd be doing anyway, just being an idiot and acting silly, but now you get paid for it. No, it's a wonderful way to make a living, actually. I'm not complaining at all. You know, I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't hold any kind of, you know, math job where math skills were mandatory, you know. So why become a comedian? It seemed like a good idea at the time.
So when you started heading down this road, did any of your family members sort of question what you were doing?
Well, you know, you'd always hear the relative, you know, Kathy's boy Jay wants to be a comedian. Oh, that's too bad. He'll grow out of that. Don't worry, Kathy. It'll be okay. You know, that kind of stuff, you know. My mother was suspicious of it until the day I had Perry Como go down into the audience, take her hand and sing a song to her. From that point on, I could do no wrong. It was like, Jay gets the big meatball now on Sunday when he comes home. You know, so that was having Perry Como sing, you know, when I, like 40 years ago, I opened for Perry Como, and he was the greatest guy. In fact, you know, I worked with Perry for like 2 summers doing, you know, all the summer theaters that they used to do. And I remember I had my girlfriend with me, and Perry Como said, hey, that girl you're with, I like her. What are you going to do with her? I said, well, I'm probably going to marry her. He said, when are you going to marry her? I said, as soon as I get some money. He reached in his pocket, he took out $2,000, and he said, here, go marry her. I said, okay. And that's what I did.
Literally, that's what you did?
Yeah, I married her. Still married.
Wow. And that's interesting as well. You know, a lot of times in Hollywood, I mean, everybody knows the stresses of being in the entertainment world tend to put kinks in personal relationships. And if I
you know something, I don't believe the stresses of the entertainment world are any worse, or actually I think they're less stressful than being a policeman or a nurse or a fireman. I mean, if you're in entertainment and you're fairly successful, you can usually deal with any, you know, I mean, you usually make enough money to handle the things that come up, you know, sick relatives, roof has a leak in it, you know, all those kind of things. So I can't say I ever found it particularly stressful. I mean, I always liked it. I enjoyed doing it. And I was always happy at whatever level I was at. You know, when I was just making a living as a comedian, just making enough to pay for gas and rent and not have the real job, that was the top of the world to me. Everything from that point on was gravy. And that's really, I think, the best attitude to have. You know, you work at your own level. You know, don't get jealous of other people. Be happy for other people's success. You know, when you're a comedian, you can't do every job, every day, everywhere. So there's plenty of work for everybody. And, I can't say I ever found it particularly stressful. I sort of like the pressure of having to come up with jokes every night on the Tonight Show. I mean, I like the idea that, okay, write joke, pencils down, okay, you gotta go. Okay, I gotta go with what I got. And you sort of live on your wits, and that's what makes it fun.
In the early years before the Tonight Show, when you were really kind of getting established, talk about what that was like.
Well, it was great fun, you know. I mean, it was, you just go to towns and you would do your act. You know, you do the local shows and all the local, you know, one time I was in, I had been guest hosting for Johnny. I was in Ohio and I'm on like the 12 o'clock news and it was a female anchor. And she says to me, okay, we're on commercial break right now. She says, I'm not really familiar with you. Just tell me who you are. I said, my name is Jay Leno. I'm playing at so-and-so. And I guest host the Tonight Show for Johnny on Monday nights. She goes, okay, great. She goes, we're talking with Jay Leno. Leno, who claims to have hosted the Tonight Show. I go, no, I'm not claiming to. I can prove I hosted. I mean, this is an NBC affiliate. There's tape here in the building of me actually hosting. I just love the fact this woman didn't want to commit to it until she'd actually seen me do it. It just made me laugh.
Wow. Well, you never know those news people exactly what's going to happen.
That's right, exactly.
So talk about the transition to taking over the Tonight Show.
Well, I mean, it was tricky. You know, there are a lot of people rooting for you and a lot of people rooting for you to fail. You just try to do the best job that you can. That was pretty much it. I mean, you know, Johnny certainly was an icon and was and still is the greatest one ever to do it. But you can't do it forever. You know, there are people that think the show should have gone off the air in deference to John, you know, but no, it's a business. And you go up to the next generation. And I was very lucky. I was successful. I was able to do it for 22 years. It was number one when I got it. It was number one when I handed it off. And that was that's really what you try to do.
And how did you develop programs each night in terms of trying to figure out who the best guests were to be on?
Well, it's not a matter of who the best guest is, who's the best guest you can get. You know, you've got a lot of competition, and you have a lot of people who don't want to do the show until December when their movie comes out or until March when their movie comes out. So you see what's available, and you make the best choice you can. People think you don't always have your pick. You know, you need three or four guests every night. So you don't always get the cream of the crop. You know, if you watch some of the shows, you see that. But in essence, you find there are only about 18 stars that really make a difference. The Tom Cruises, the Schwarzeneggers, you know, Angelina Jolie back in the day, a few others. And those are the ones that get ratings. Other people watch because hopefully they like what you do. I mean, when you do the monologue, you try to have as many jokes as possible. I remember early on a guy stopped me on the street and said, hey, I don't care for you, but I like your jokes on the show. I said, well, thank you, sir. At least you're watching it for some reason, and that's fine. So you don't like the manufacturer, but you like the product. Okay, I'll take that. That's fine. You know, you have to sort of take it with a grain of salt. You know?
So what was your daily routine during that time?
Well, my daily routine, I get in about 7:30 in the morning, and then you just start writing jokes. And you go over notes about who the guest is, and then you write jokes. And then you discuss any sketch or anything, what musical guests. You watch rehearsal, and then you write more jokes. You just write jokes all the time up until 4:30. And then you go pencils down, and you do the show. And then the show ends, and then about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, you sit down, you try and write jokes till maybe 11 o'clock at night, maybe 11:30, sometimes midnight, to get ready for the next show. And you sort of do that every day. Yeah.
So did you often, after you were done with the show, did you usually go back and watch it again later?
If I had a reason to watch, in the sense that, let me see how, I want to see how the monologue worked tonight. Okay. You know, and then you look to see if you're, you know, your fly is open or something, or you're making some mannerism that's annoying people. I mean, I watch every night, of course, but if something interesting happened, oh, honey, we had this guest on tonight, and Burt Reynolds punched him in the face, you got to watch this, you know, that kind of thing, yeah.
So one of the fascinating aspects of your life seems to be your love for cars and motorcycles. How did that all get started?
Well, I grew up in a rural area, much like Oregon, I think, in New England. And if you were a boy, you were expected to know how to fix snowmobiles and lawnmowers and things like that. It was just sort of something that young boys, and certainly a lot of young women, but not quite as many, I think, as boys, did. And it was just part of it. You know, plus when you grow up in a rural area, there's no public transportation. To get from one place to the next, you need a mini bike or a motorcycle or a scooter or a cheap car. You need something, you know. And so that's pretty much how it all started.
And were there a particular type of vehicle that you initially liked, or a certain direction you went?
Well, yeah, you shoot for a Ferrari, and then you wind up with your mom's old Valiant. You know, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, I mean, whatever you could get. You know, that was back in the day when you could find abandoned cars in fields, you know, and you get the tractor and you drive them back to your yard, and then you work on to try and get them running again. And, I mean, that's what we did. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember we were 12 and 13, we'd just drive around the field behind our house just all day. I mean, my mother would watch from the kitchen window, you know, and we'd have demolition derbies or just stupid things like that, and just have fun with cars until we're able to drive them on the street.
And how many cars do you have currently?
Oh, you sound like my wife. There's 203 on the road and 168 motorcycles. I know, it's a little stupid, but it's still cheaper than having more than one wife.
Now, with all of these vehicles, have you driven all of them?
Yes, of course. Of course you drive them all. I mean, I enjoy working on them, repairing them, and then you go out and you drive it to make sure it's okay. I mean, I just finished up right now. I just changed the new oil in a 1963 Jaguar XKE. So I change the oil, change the brake fluid, change the coolant, and take it for a ride, see if it's okay, park it, and then work on something else.
So you're very hands-on then about having these vehicles.
Yeah, I enjoy it. You know something, when you work with your hands, it makes you appreciate how easy it is to talk for a living. I mean, nothing more annoying to me when I would get celebrities on, and I'll tell you this, I won't tell you who it is, but a very famous actor came on the show one day, and, you know, we're talking about his movie and everything, and then during the break, he knew I'm a car guy, he goes, hey, Jay, I want to get a sports car, what's a cool sports car to get? I said to him, this new Ferrari just come out. I said, well, this new Ferrari is unbelievable. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, but you know, everybody's got a Ferrari. I go, okay, first of all, everybody does not have a Ferrari, okay? If you ever say that publicly, you'll be taken out in the streets and beaten and killed, okay? And then he realized how stupid it is. I said, you know, you got to get out of Beverly Hills. Most people haven't even seen a Ferrari. The idea that you don't want one because everybody has one is like the funniest thing I've ever heard. And he realized how ridiculous that sounds. And that's what happens if you live in Hollywood. You wind up with that weird sort of vision of the world, you know? Yeah, it just made me laugh.
Now, on motorcycles, do you go with newer bikes, classic, way back ones, or a mix?
Well, I got a couple of bikes that are 100 years old. Yeah, sure. And believe me, you haven't lived till you've driven a 100-year-old motorcycle in L.A. traffic with no brakes. It's a fascinating experience.
Now, when you're out with some of these vehicles, and maybe the motorcycle, it would be more obvious, and maybe in L.A. this isn't that big of a deal. I don't know. It would get attention around here, maybe in small-town America. But if you're out on a motorcycle, do you ever have people look over and be shocked to see that they're next to Jay Leno on a motorcycle?
Well, usually you have a helmet on, so people don't really recognize you, especially if you have a full-face helmet. Once in a while, they recognize you. It's fine. You know something? It's not like I'm a rock star where people go crazy. you're just an old white guy comedian, and people, well, that's a chance. Hey, how you doing, Jay? How are you? And maybe they want to talk cars or ask me a question about a car or something. I enjoy it. You know, I like, if you don't like people, please get in another business, you know. I don't understand celebrities that won't sign an autograph or take a selfie with somebody. I mean, to me, that's all part of it. I find human interaction hilariously funny. I just find people so genuinely odd, you know, and they'll tell you extremely personal things where you go, good heaven, good God, you know, listen to this guy. You know, I mean, it's just kind of fun. I mean, it's just the diversity of human life, you know. It's fun for me. I enjoy it. I mean, I think if I was, you know, hugely famous where you're getting mobbed all the time, then it might be a little crazy. You know, I mean, the only place where it's really crazy is if you're somewhere like Disneyland and a tour bus comes by, and then you might get a little mob there. But that's about it.
Talk about the Jay's Garage Show.
Yeah, that's a fun show to do. I like it because I get to meet other hobbyists from around the world. And, you know, that's the fun part about being me. Everything I do on the air, you know, I remember when Clooney was on ER, people would come up to go, hey, can you take a look at this scar? What do you think? And he goes, I'm not a real doctor. Yeah, but you know about it. Can you look at it? No, you go, I can't examine you. I'm not a doctor, you know. But to me, it's what I do. I like cars and motorcycles. When people come up to me and say, hey, my dad's got a 63.5 Falcon Sprint. I go, oh, great, 260, four-speed. Oh, yeah, and you talk for a half hour, you know. So it's okay. I enjoy it.
So with your schedule now, what's a typical day like for you?
Oh, well, I'm doing this game show called You Bet Your Life, which is a lot of fun. We just finished the second season of that. We tape 7 shows a day for 7 weeks, so that was pretty much a long day, but that's done now. Now I'm shooting this Jay Leno's Garage Show, which is a car show, and I'm on the road. I'll be in Oregon on Saturday, and I'll be somewhere else. Be doing a show here in LA on Sunday, and I'm somewhere else Friday. So it's just kind of on the road.
Now, with such an interest in cars and motorcycles, are there other hobbies that you have?
No. No, I don't. That takes up all my time. Cars, motorcycles, comedy, you know, doing stuff with my wife. That pretty much stays my whole day.
Now, I imagine that you've been all over the world during this time. Are there particular places when you're not working, you're just maybe traveling with your wife, that you especially like to travel to?
Well, I'm on the road every weekend, and sometimes for longer periods of time. So to me, just to come home is a great, I enjoy it. I appreciate it. I mean, I have a house back east, and I go there once in a while, too, when I'm working. To me, it's always a working vacation. I like that. Because, like I say, when you like to tell jokes, it's fun.
So clearly, you've been very successful in all these things that you've done, and you probably really don't have to work. But why do you choose to keep doing stand-up comedy and being out there on the road?
Well, you have to work because you're only as good as your last joke. You know, for example, when I go out on the street now, I get recognized because of Jay Leno's Garage. I mean, some people remember The Tonight Show, but people under 30, a lot of them don't remember me on The Tonight Show because they were too young. You know, I mean, the show's been off the air almost a decade, and if you were 9 or 10 when it was on, you probably never saw it, you know? Why would you go to a gym? Why would you exercise? You know, why do you exercise? Well, you're retired. Stay home. I enjoy it. It's great fun. I mean, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of fun about writing a joke and then running out to the audience and telling it, you know? That's the thing. Here's a new joke. All right. Tell me this is funny. I go down to Best Buy to get a new washer and dryer, you know, and I say to the guy, show me your best washer and dryer, and the guy goes, we got a whole line of smart washers and dryers. And I said, what makes them smart? He goes, they got Wi-Fi. I said, you know, I don't need Wi-Fi in my washer and dryer. He goes, well, it's included in the price when you buy it. It's added value. The Wi-Fi is just included. All right, so I buy it. Now, for the last 2 weeks, I've been walking around with damp underwear because I forgot my Wi-Fi password.
Oh, geez. Oh, my gosh. So
is that a joke?
I like that.
It's fun to write, write stuff like that, and then I wonder if this will work. And you go out and you try it out, and the audience lets you know.
And I'm amazed that there is Wi-Fi and washers now. That just goes over the top of my head.
They
anyway.
Do. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's it. Can't you just get up and walk into the other room and press the button? I don't know. How hard is that?
There you go.
So what could people expect Saturday night at Seven Feathers?
Well, it's stand-up comedy. I used to do a lot of politics. I don't really do politics anymore because people, they wait to hear if the joke is for or against their candidate before they react to it. You just want, Rodney Dangerfield was a good friend of mine. I love Rodney. I knew Rodney 40 years. I have no idea who he voted for. I don't know whether he was Democrat. I don't know if he was a Republican. He was just about the jokes. And that's what we try to do. You go to a casino, you go to a show, just to get away from life and have fun and have some laughs. And that's what I'm hoping people will do. I've been using that for the last year or so. I find people are so burned out. You're not going to change anybody's mind. Yes, a lot of times I see people, I go, well, I know I won't agree with that guy politically, so I'm not even going to discuss it. And then you find out you have other things in common that you might like about them. You know what I mean? So that's probably the biggest change. It's not all Republican, Democrat, vice versa all day long. Sometimes it's just fun just to tell jokes,
Is there anything you've wanted to do in life that you haven't got around to doing yet?
No, I'm trying to get out of doing stuff, actually. I can't say there is. I won't know until it actually happens. But no, I can't say, I never got to do this. No, I've been very fortunate. I've got to do just about everything I always wanted to do.
And is there one fact about you that people maybe probably don't know?
Is there one fact that they don't know?
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea what people know. No, I'm not. I don't know. It always seems rather self-serving. Yes, here's what I'd like people to know about. Don't shut up. It just seems so one of those show busy things where just, yes, I'd like people to know that I'm really this. I don't know. No, not really. I can't think of anything that is some earth-shattering story about. Yes, people have to know that I'm dyslexic, whatever it might be.
Jay Leno, a one-of-a-kind comedian, and coming to Seven Feathers on Saturday night. Jay, thanks for being on today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for taking the time, my friend. We'll see you there. Come by the show and say hello.
All right, sounds good to me. 1257 Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.